How would you like to follow that? That was tremendous. Thank you, choir. I think undoubtedly we must have the best music in the whole city. I was shaving the other day and cut my chin, and my wife came in and she said, "Your chin's all bloody. What happened?" I said, "I was thinking about my sermon and cut my chin." She said, "Well, next week, think about your chin and cut your sermon." Turn in your Bibles, please, to the little book of James. You'll find it right after the book of Hebrews. James was probably the brother of our Lord Jesus. We're going to begin reading in chapter 3 at verse 1 and read through verse 12. Here at Central, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word, it is the Word. And we are dependent on it to know God's will and God's way for us. It is the only unfailing, infallible rule for faith, what we believe, and practice, what we do. Hear then this portion of God's Word to us. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I sort of wish that he hadn't said that, but it is God's Word. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's the perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Now he's going to say that nobody is that perfect. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is restless. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Our meditation this morning is entitled, Fire in the Trash Basket. Our text is verse 6. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. And to His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father, You want us to grow as Christians. More and more You want us to be like Jesus. And there are so many things we have problems with, Father. Pride, anger, lust, greed. But one of the biggest problems we have, Lord, is controlling our tongues. Teach us this morning something about that, so that we can live a better lifestyle for Jesus. And we ask that in His name. Amen. When I was choosing our scripture for this morning, I could not help but think of Iraq and its leader Saddam. Our scripture says the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And when I read that, I thought of all the things Saddam had said and of the oil fields burning in Kuwait. I thought of tanks on fire. I thought of a highway filled with burned out vehicles. And all because of the boast of one man whose tongue got out of control and who boasted of the mother of battles. The tongue can be a dangerous instrument. James says that with the same tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. He goes on to add, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, he says, this should not be. And then he asks, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? And then he concludes, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Now, James is using extremely strong language, vivid imagery, to talk to Christians about their character as it's reflected in the things that they say. Let me give you a little background. James is undoubtedly the brother of our Lord Jesus. He was also the leader of the Christian Council in Jerusalem. He was writing to Christians who had probably been scattered everywhere by the persecution that broke out there in Jerusalem against the Christians early on. And since he was writing to Christians, the thrust of the letter is to give some straight talk about what it means to be a Christian, some straight talk about how to live out the Christian lifestyle, so that we can have a consistent image to the world, and that we can be consistent in reflecting Jesus Christ. If you are a true Christian, he says, you will not only be a listener, but you will be a doer. And as he writes his little book, as he comes to chapter 2, he begins to talk about being a doer as well as a listener. And then he comes to that famous passage that all of us have heard about. Faith by itself, he writes, if it is not accomplished by action, is dead. And then in chapter 3, he turns to talk about how a Christian uses his tongue. Just as a great ship is turned by a small rudder, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it says it makes great boasts. So this morning I want to talk about how we Christians use our tongues. I looked up the word gossip in the dictionary, and it means a person who chatters or repeats idle talk and rumors, especially the private affairs of others. Down in Texas, there's a company called Eterno that makes great, huge, earth-moving equipment. And one piece of equipment is a scraper known as Model G. And one day, a potential buyer asked a salesman, he said, Model G, what does the G stand for? Quick as a flash, the salesman replied, the G stands for gossip. Because just like a person who gossips, this machine moves a lot of dirt, and it moves it fast. The first point I want to make this morning is this. Gossip is the way we trash another person. In the Lord's Prayer, we Presbyterians say, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, someone has jestingly said that because of our Scottish heritage as Presbyterians, that we pray as Presbyterians, "Forgive us our debts," because we'd rather be forgiven our debts than anything else. Actually, I don't think that's true. That's probably just gossip. Because the Greek in Matthew is properly translated debts. But when I was a child growing up in the small town in Mississippi where I was raised, we didn't have a Presbyterian church, and so my family went to the Methodist church. And the Methodists pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And I read a story about a little Methodist boy who was being taught the Lord's Prayer. He didn't know what a trespass was. He had never seen one. And he had never heard the word before, had no idea what it was, so he must be mishearing. And so he began to pray it this way: "Lord, forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who trash basket against us." Now, I think James would have liked that prayer. James says the tongue is a fire. And I suspect there are a lot of trash baskets set on fire by our gossip. You remember some years ago when Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State, a story made the front page because a young reporter, 27 years old, was caught stealing 6 bags of his trash. And what he was doing was going through his trash to see if he could find out some information about Kissinger that would be front page news. Instead, he made the front page. As you might guess, he worked for the National Enquirer. But are you guilty of that? Are you guilty of going through other people's trash looking for something you can report about that person, looking for something dirty that you can smear that person with? So gossip is the way we trash basket one another. The second point I want to make is this: is the trash really trash? Let me explain. In the Bible, there are some moral standards that are clear and unequivocal. For example, the Ten Commandments are specific, clear. Some sins are extremely clear. It says that it's a sin to commit adultery, it's a sin to commit fornication, it's a sin to steal, it's a sin to kill. But there was a time, and perhaps still is, when some churches preach that it's a sin to play cards, to dance, to go to the movies. Even today, there are some denominations that say women should not use makeup. I don't think I'd like that. I don't think you ladies would look as pretty. There are some other denominations that say using gasoline engines to farm is sinful. Some denominations say that to take a drink is sinful. So we need to be careful about how we determine what's bad or wrong. We need to be careful not to judge others by whatever standards we may have for our own lives, and which may not be that person's standards, or for that matter, even what God requires. For example, St. Paul tells us, "One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him." And then St. Paul adds, "Who are you to judge?" So we have to be careful about what we consider to be sin. What may be wrong for me may not be wrong for you. So unless there is a breach of some clear moral principle, we're not to judge one another. I'm not to impose my standards for my life on you and say you must live by my standards. By the same token, you are not to require me to to measure up to your standards. We must each look to the other to live up to the standards that God puts down. Now, here's the third thing I want to share this morning, and it's the question, in what pocket do I put the trash of others? Now, let me explain that. W.H. Borum tells of the man who had two pockets. One pocket had a hole in it, and the other pocket he watched carefully each day to be sure that it did not develop a hole. Everything the man heard that was hurtful about somebody, every slanderous thing, every bad thing he heard, he wrote it down on a piece of paper and he put it in the pocket with a hole in it. If he heard something good about somebody, he wrote that down on a piece of paper also, and he put that in the pocket that didn't have a hole in it. When he got home each night, he would put his hand in the pocket with no hole, take out the pieces of paper with all the good things about folks written on it. He would read them over and rejoice and enjoy what he read about others. And then he would put his hand in the pocket with no holes, with the holes in it, and he would find nothing there. He would rejoice again and laugh that he had nothing bad to read about others. Now, the problem is most of us get that process reversed. We put bad things about people in the pockets, in the pocket with no hole in it. And that's what we take out and mull over and read and remember and sometimes enjoy it. But the good things we put in the pocket with a hole in it. And we forget about the good things that people have done. Now, how do you know which pocket to put something in? Let me give you quickly four rules you can use to make that decision. Here is rule one. Is what you heard true? That is, do you know for certain and beyond any shadow of a doubt that the information is true? Do you know personally? Not have you heard it second, third, fourth, and, but do you know personally that the information is true? Over in Deuteronomy, God gives us some guidance. The Bible says, if you hear it said about someone, then you must inquire, probe, and investigate it thoroughly. So if you are relating information about someone, is it true? Have you inquired about it? Have you probed the matter? Have you investigated it thoroughly so that you know that the information is true? You see, sometimes it makes us feel important to have information about somebody. Or it makes us feel good if it fits our preconceptions that we may have about a person that are bad. Or maybe we don't like the person and we enjoy passing on bad information and bad news. So first of all, when you're making a decision which pocket to put it in, is it true? The second rule is this, is it fair? You see, sometimes we pass on gossip about someone which technically may be true, but it does not give the circumstances surrounding it which might change our perspective. For example, suppose a storekeeper is reported to have struck a customer with a stick. Now, that may be true, but the question is it fair? You see, if someone was robbing the store and threatening the life of a clerk, then the storekeeper may be justified in protecting the life of his salesperson. Repeating the fact without repeating the circumstances may not be fair. Rule number three is this. Is it redemptive? Does repeating the information, does repeating the gossip help the person? Does it in any way help that person to change attitudes or change behavior? Does it help the person to whom you're repeating the information? You see, sometimes our only motive in repeating something is simply ill will or meanness or smallness. So we need to ask, is it redemptive? Rule four is this. Does it serve some useful purpose? There's a story about Abraham Lincoln that tells of some people who brought him a paper on which they had written some objections and some charges which reflected on the character of a dear friend of the president's. He asked them, he said, "Is this paper that you have given to me now mine?" They said, "Oh, yes, Mr. President." He said, "May I do with it anything I wish?" And they said, "Of course." And then he walked over to the fireplace, and the president put the sheet of paper in the flames. "Good day, gentlemen," he said. You see, from his vantage point, the paper did not serve a useful purpose. So, is it useful? Does it do any good to repeat it? Now, does those things make sense to you? Is it true? Is it fair? Is it redemptive? Does it serve some useful purpose? And only when you can say yes to all four of those can you put it in the pocket with no holes in it. The fourth point I want to make this morning is this. You can't recapture the smoke from a burning trash basket. Have you ever noticed that? Once something's on fire and the smoke is billowing up, you can't recapture the smoke and put it all back, and you can't undo the fire. See how it works. A woman who had spread a false story about another person confessed to her pastor that the story was false, and she asked forgiveness. The wise pastor said that he would pray with her for God to forgive her, but first she must do several things. Of course, she readily agreed. He told her to go home, catch a black chicken from her yard, pluck all of its feathers, put them in a basket, and bring them to him. She did. Then he told her to take the basket of feathers and to walk through town scattering them at each street corner, and then to go up into the bell tower of the church and let the wind blow the rest of the feathers away. When she had done this, she returned. The pastor said to her, "Now, go back through the village, gather the feathers again. See to it that not one of them is missing." She looked at her pastor in astonishment and said, "Why, that's impossible. The wind has scattered them everywhere." "Ah," replied the pastor, "that is so. But while you are forgiven, never forget the damage your words have done that can never, ever be undone." No, when you've repeated gossip about someone, the feathers can never be gathered together again. The smoke can never be recaptured, and the fire can never be unlit. The damage we do to each other can never be undone. And that brings me to the fifth and final thing I want to say this morning. Are you willing to put your name on your trash basket? When you're trashing people, are you willing to sign your name to your trash basket? I read once about a pastor who had on his desk a special book entitled "Complaints of Members Against One Another." Whenever one of his members called on him to complain about another member or to tell him some trash about another person, the pastor would say, "Well, here is my complaint book. I will write down what you say, and you can sign it. I will take up this matter officially, and I will know I can count on you to testify." However, no member was ever willing to sign his name to his trash basket, and so no entry was ever made in the pastor's book. Are you willing to sign your name when you trash another person? You see, there's a scripture verse that goes along with signing your name. Have you guessed what that verse is? It reads like this: "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Does that seem fair? Does it seem fair to be judged by the same standards of judgment you use? Yes, for in the same way we judge others, we will be judged. And the measure we use will be measured to us. What about your trash basket? Is it on fire? Do you gossip? Do you repeat things about others? Do you want to be judged by your own standard of judgment? You see, that's the way it seems to work. Let us pray. Our Father, help us not to be careless with another's reputation, with another's life, with another's actions. But teach us to love our neighbor. Teach us not only to love those who love us, but to care about others, to be related to them in such a way that we'll keep the good and dismiss the bad. And we pray that our judgment will be such that we will want to be judged by it ourselves. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.